This is Lori Prox here with Dr. Kathleen Todd of the Valdez Medical Clinic, also an emergency doctor at the Providence Valdez Medical Center. And of course, the hospital is becoming a little busier place in the clinic with lots of testing, with school being back. We have a lot of issues. We've missed a few weeks here of our interviews, largely due to me being out of the office and unavailable to do these recordings. So thank you so much for coming back. So we'll try to catch up on what we missed. And I guess a good place to start is probably where we're at right now in terms of cases. We had a little bit of a breakout of cases, a lot of contact tracing going on. And, you know, thankfully we're having the cases in kind of little small doses, but they're continuing. So maybe we can talk a little bit about quarantine and how, what the protocol is and how that's spread. So that was a big charge, but let's start with current cases and what the protocol is for those in terms of contact tracing. I have a little inside scoop on that one, I guess, this week.
Yeah, you may have more to say than I do about what that really means to an individual person. But basically, I think we're up to 5 now. It's kind of like the number goes up because there's a new case, and the number goes down because somebody gets over it. So far, with one notable exception, we have had people have kind of mild cases and be able to be treated at home. We don't have anybody being treated in the hospital. Hospital remains divided so that we have the side that's the main side of the hospital, and then we have a COVID or a containment zone, so to speak, and anybody who is at high risk of having it is put in that side to be seen in individual rooms, and we would have that that space to see somebody who needed to stay in the hospital. But we haven't had anybody stay in the hospital here. They've either been so sick that they go to Anchorage, or they've been well enough that they can go home and be isolated there. But then we have lots of people in quarantine, and unfortunately, we have some people who have come from somewhere else or here in town who have said, oh, well, I'm in quarantine, but let me go visit just one person inside their house, whatever, and then you got somebody who's a contact. I had my whole staff, not my whole staff, I had three members of my staff out on quarantine because somebody came in for something totally different. It had nothing to do with COVID symptoms, you know, something mechanical wrong with a joint in their body, and then they turn up testing positive for COVID, and then you've got a bunch of people who have to stay away from everybody else so that if they catch it, they won't give it to anybody else.
And it is tough because wearing the mask and being out and about, everyone has to kind of assume everyone might have it. But, you know, even going to the doctor, you guys cannot assume everyone, you can't test everybody who walks through your door. Is that correct?
No. We have a lot of testing available. It's really nice if your kid's sick that you can get a test that same day so that they can go back to school the next day. But we don't have enough testing to test everybody every day. That's way more yes than what we're talking about.
All right. And I know due to privacy, maybe you can't say, but my dear friend Annie Wilson did end up in the hospital. She had some other issues, health issues, and did contract COVID and ended up in the hospital. I took her there, and you end up in the back area. Unfortunately, she did end up getting medevaced to Anchorage very quickly. But I do want to give a shout out to William at the testing there. What a quick turnaround and very professional. Also, Terry Lynch, contact tracing, very compassionate, very, you know, I think sometimes you have this idea that, you know, you don't want people in your business, but she really isn't in your business. Her main goal with her phone calls, at least to me, were, hey, who else has been around and who do we need to contact? And to that end, I think there's a lot of pressure on, hey, the you know, the government needs to take care of this, or the medical community, or, but really what I found is that there's a lot an individual can do. I can't even tell you how many phone calls I took with questions, you know, what happens now? So there is some personal responsibility there. So a lot of the folks who don't want the rules want personal responsibility. So, you know, hopefully through some this interview, you can get an idea of what some of that personal responsibility is. And then, you know, then you make your decisions whether to take it or not. I chose to quarantine for 2 weeks because it just was the right, you know, I felt that was the right decision. So, and that is the recommend. That's what's recommended. Because if you've been around someone with COVID, a close contact, which is 15 minutes or longer within 6 feet, then you're considered a close contact and have potential to have it. You can also go get tests, which that was a little fuzzy, but you can go get tests during that time period, but you don't want to get a test right away if you think you've been exposed. So can you explain that a little bit? I know people might want to wait. I was instructed to wait at least, you know, 4, 5, 6, possibly even 7 days, because it does take a while after the exposure. And I think you're seeing that more and more. Sometimes people are picking up the symptoms much later, right?
Well, yeah, there's basically nobody that comes up with enough virus to cause symptoms or to be contagious in the first 2 or 3 days. So getting tested the day that you were exposed to somebody, it would be a total waste of a test, and it might reassure you that, oh, I don't have it, so I can go out and party, and that would be totally and completely backwards. So you can't test out of quarantine is one of our little phrases, because our tests are not 100%, and quarantine is very hard to do. It's don't go to the grocery store yourself. It's stay away from the rest of the members of your family so that they don't end up being exposed to you. It's a hard that you can say that, Laurie, right? It's hard to be in quarantine.
Yeah. It's not easy. It's doable. But I'm very fortunate to be in a situation where we have the ability to have separate living areas, and we got the kitchen.
If you have two bathrooms in your house, and you have multiple floors, and it makes it a lot easier. But it is a lot easier in Alaska because you are allowed to go out on a hike all by yourself, not running around town where you meet people and stop and talk to them. But you know, you can find places, or you can go out in your car all by yourself.
Yeah, we went out back, and Kelsey had to run her lines for sports. So
So there's, you know, we have a lot of advantages here in being in quarantine, but you're really supposed to stay away from everybody because the virus could be that you're the next person who's going to get it. And the incubation period that we talk about, like, oh, you know, I've got exposed to the chickenpox. Well, if I don't get it by next week, I'm probably not going to get it. Well, it's the same thing with this, except that it's kind of a spread out incubation period. But the incubation period is an average of 5, 6, 7 days, maybe. And I shouldn't say maybe, but it's 5.5 is the average, maybe a little bit longer than that in certain populations. So, and we know that you're the most contagious, you put out the most viruses so that we can pick it up the best with our test about 2 days before you get your symptoms. So take that 5.5 and move it back to 3.5. And so 3.5, 4 or 5 days would be the best time to pick it up if you're going to be asymptomatic or even before you turn symptomatic. And so that's when we will suggest that you get a test. Why? Are we going to let you out of quarantine if you have a negative test? No. But what if you turn positive? Then you can start saying, okay, well, then probably I'm going to be not contagious by 10 days from now unless I get really sick. Even if I have the most asymptomatic case and I can't really tell whether the sniffle is just my allergies or COVID, probably you can count 10 days from your positive test and be okay to go back to regular life. It also will help us say, oh, you're positive, then let's see who you came into contact with before you realized that other person was positive. So you're exposed to the person who was positive, but we don't really know maybe you don't know that for a couple of days. It took public health 2 days to get a hold of you. Well, then who were you in contact with during those days before they found you?
Well, and in those and 2 days, folks can talk to each other. I mean, I think that's an important note because it's a lot. It's a big job. I mean, even this little town for one person. So, you know, definitely if you find out you've been exposed prior, you can let folks know. And I think an important thing to note here is I think the focus is kind of shifting to going into quarantining and following all these procedures so that you can get back into life. And that's a hopeful note, I think, for a lot of people, because it's not let's just stay in our house forever. We're trying to work out coping mechanisms to deal with this and then also get back into life without, you know, hopefully spreading it. So I think that's a huge thing to note, because a lot of folks are not getting back to life in a lot of other places. So I think Valdez is fairly progressive in that. And I think it's, you know, I think that's a focus of a lot of folks, because the reality is, if you don't have any underlying conditions, your percentages are, you know, are good that you're not going to be sick in the hospital with COVID. So I think that's
Your percentages are good, but there still are cases of, you know, young, hale, hearty people getting sick, so sick as unto death and whatever. So it's not like that young people are totally immune or will, oh, yeah, I'll only get a mild case. But those mild case people do take it to people like Annie. But also, there are people who are still feeling sick a month later. Their chest x-rays are still weird, even though they had no symptoms. And we don't know what's going to happen to those people in the long, long run. So it's still not something you want to catch, even if you're not around any old people.
Well, definitely everyone's trying to prevent the spread. But I think, we've talked about this before, the idea of being in your house and going nowhere and seeing nothing, the personal connection is a problem. And to that end, shout out to, and you're a part of this as well, the Valdez School District. And really, it's pretty amazing. A whole semester, a whole quarter of school with 1 day off. And that's through testing, mitigation, and trying to the can-do attitude, trying to find a way to get back into, I won't say the new normal, because it's not normal at all, but
no, let's not make this the new normal. Let's
no.
Like, but it is going to be for a while. It's going to be for quite a while.
And that's a good point. Let's go there now. With the schools, I think, you know, and obviously I think, you know, if you look at the different numbers, younger kids, and I know anyone can get it, but younger kids much less susceptible than older
sure.
folks with pre-existing conditions. So for the kids, the testing, it's going well. Explain for folks too who are out there who don't know the system. If a kid comes down with a cough, they're sent home and they have to get a test before they can come back to school. And is that system working well?
I am told by educators at the last school board meeting that it is working well. Certainly, there is something going around at the moment. For instance, it's a runny nose, and we have lots of kids coming in to get their certificate of, yes, I have a runny nose, but it's not COVID. So there's actually three ways to get back to school. One is to get a test with your new symptom. You have a new symptom, don't wait and see whether it's going to get better the next day. That actually has nothing to do with it. We want to test those kids. And it's not just the people who have the sore throat that gets worse over 4 or 5 days. It's the people who have a sore throat for 1 day or 2 days. Some of those are COVID-positive people. If we can avoid having them go back and expose their classmates, it will be all to the good of staying in school. Or you could just stay home for 10 days after your sniffle for 1 day. Nobody wants to do that, have the kids out of school quite that long. And the other thing you can do is to talk to a doctor who says, oh, sniffles, yeah, they always are allergic to their cat. I wish they'd make their cat live in a different room. But they always have sniffles because of their cat. So only look for other symptoms in this kid. Sniffles don't count, but new sore throat or fever or GI symptoms do count in this kid, but just don't count this or their migraine headache for kids who always have migraine headaches or whatever.
All right. And there are, I think at one point, you know, when the first cases started coming in, I thought, you know, oh no, here we go. We're going to have a huge outbreak. But I think getting a hold of the contact tracing, getting folks, you know, out of the public that could potentially have it, right? Is that why we're not seeing a huge, you know, it seems like they're kind of trickling in, which is good for not overwhelming I know it sounds odd, but it is, I mean, I'm sure you had the same thought. Oh no, here we go. But
absolutely. You know, I know of a recent case that I cannot give any details here or we end up with violating people's privacy, but somebody who's supposed to be quarantining, going in and visiting somebody for a long period of time and that person has the potential that if they catch it, they're going to expose a whole bunch of people who are at risk, just because of age and other conditions and things. And so, you know, hopefully they didn't catch it from the, you know, what was the quarantined person doing going and just visiting one person? They shouldn't have done that. But then hopefully we got to them quickly enough that the person that they exposed quits going out and visiting all of their friends who are, as I say, there's many people in that group that are potentially could get really sick with it. And we're just kind of holding our breath at the moment until that person's quarantine is over to see whether they catch it. Because if they don't catch it, then, you know, 2 weeks later, everybody can breathe easy and they can come out of their house and start interacting with people again. But if they went out there and just interacted with everybody, we could have a big outbreak, and this town just can't handle a big outbreak. And frankly, the state of Alaska at the moment is ICU capacity is pretty much gone. You know, it's pretty much full all the time now. So it's kind of scary.
One point I would like to make, just because I think it's important to make, you know, personal experience, because boy, we've seen so much national news and who knows who to believe. So hopefully people who know me might think, oh, this is the way it is. But a lot of stories about hospitals and being impersonal. Alaska Regional Hospital in Anchorage, man, the most compassionate crew, some awesome nurses and doctors in the care of Annie Wilson, just amazing. And I think they said last night it's on the care. There's a Caring Bridge site set up. So if people want to go visit caringbridge.org and then you search Annie Wilson, and not only can you kind of get an idea of how awesome Alaska Regional was in a difficult situation, but also what a great person Annie was and what she did for our town. And right now I think the idea that you can't make a difference in all of this, you know, I think there are people operating in the medical field, you know, it's just getting tiring. But read through that site and you can see that one person can make a big difference. So anyways, try to find hope where you can find it. But the medical community at Alaska Regional, and you know, I don't have experience with the other hospital, but was quite good. So I just want to make that point in a time where everyone's looking for what's wrong. There's a whole lot of compassionate souls out there. So hats off to them. And back to save me here, Kathy.
Well, you said that the other thing you wanted to make sure to cover here is why this is still the long haul, even though we hear about vaccines coming online.
Yeah, definitely.
So it's very hopeful that several of the companies are coming up with vaccines. I think, you know, the trial goes on hold because somebody comes down with some other symptoms or illness who is in the trial, and they say, oh gosh, is that due to the vaccine? And until they can get that investigated, this is standard procedure that, you know, is that something that's, that a lot of people are going to get when they get this vaccine and we can't tolerate that, and so we get it back to the drawing board? Or was that just somebody happened to get another disease while they were in the vaccine trial, and that would have happened anyway, a total coincidence, has nothing to do with anything. So the trials go on hold, and they start up again, and the British, I guess, are going to do a, or they're thinking about doing a direct trial of actually, instead of giving people a vaccine and then having them go out there and live life, they're going to actually give them COVID and see. And
yeah, like, they're like taking healthy people, right? That test?
What? Healthy people. Yeah, so anyway, the vaccines are proceeding apace, and you would know we're not going to have any by the end of this month. That was pretty optimistic, but maybe by the end of the year there will be a vaccine. But even with all this pre-manufacturing the vaccine, even though they may have to throw the whole thing away if it turns out that that's the vaccine that's not safe, even with pre-manufacturing that, they're not going to have enough doses for everybody in the United States first. And so they're, you know, trying to say what the priority would be. And so the priority would be, you know, healthcare workers in areas that have huge numbers of people coming in, or that sort of thing. It will also depend on which vaccine and what it's good for. That is, if we have vaccines that work the best in the elderly, well, yeah, let's give them to the elderly first. If we have vaccines that only work in young people, let's give them to those people first. But they're going to have to keep manufacturing. And then the other thing is that some of the vaccines have to be frozen in a certain way. And when we had shingles vaccine, that new shingles vaccine first, it had to be frozen in a certain way, and it basically wasn't making it to Alaska in one piece. So there was a lot of it being wasted until they figured out how to keep it frozen correctly. So you wouldn't want to send it to the villages until the dead of winter to make sure that it stays frozen. So various vaccines may have various constraints that mean that it's not just a matter of deciding who's more important, people in nursing homes or school kids. It may be that the vaccine is better for one group or the other. All the states have been asked to figure out how they would distribute the vaccine if they had it, but that doesn't, and get ready to do that. We here in Valdez, and on our small scale, that's what we're doing, was giving out flu shots recently, is how can we do this? How can we do drive-through? How can we do drive-through without touching people's paperwork and giving it to the volunteers that are giving out the vaccine? We've been practicing that for years. We practiced it in the COVID fashion this time. So I think that locally, had we the vaccine, we got that down. But how does the state get it to the locals? How does the feds get to, you know, how do the companies get it to the states? All of that is being worked out on a grand scale so that when it's available, that won't be the hang-up.
So I think that's where the excitement came from, as the state announced that they're working on the plan to disseminate once we have it. But I think you and I talked as well. Alaska's probably way down the list in terms of just due to solely geographic location, if nothing else. So we'll see. Keep an eye on that. And see how that progresses. But it's pretty interesting, some of the trials and on healthy volunteers and such. So it'll be interesting where that takes us. The other thing is, there was a city council meeting last night, and the city council did vote to extend the mask mandate into November. So I think at one point there was a recommendation, and I know you've been in support of extending it further, but I think the council really wants to review it in a public forum rather than have it just extended indefinitely, so that they have the opportunity to have discussion. And I think a month ago, you know, it's funny, I think they were thinking, we'll see where we're at. And last night it was 7-0 to extend that mask mandate, because I think we have a couple more cases than we did at that point a month ago.
As one of the council members pointed out, Anchorage is if it were a state, it would be fifth or sixth in the nation as to how many cases per capita. So it's no longer the case that you know, Alaska's all closed off and then we have hardly any cases. And so we don't want those nasty people from outside bringing a virus.
We are the nasty people. Yeah.
Yeah. So, the travel mandate has actually been loosened a little bit in terms of how many days people from outside have to quarantine and whatever. I think that, and many health experts think that this is not the time to let that down. But frankly, the people coming through the airport who have traveled are more likely to be negative than the people who go to testing stations. The people who go to testing stations, of course, probably have some reason to worry because they were exposed, so it's not the same population. But we don't have a lot of people bringing it from outside because they're being so careful not to, and then people are not being as careful wandering around town. And, you know, you just say, oh, well, just that one person, if I just let one more person in my group, what if we had two people be able to visit every hospital patient? You know, okay, how could that hurt? But when you have it at a red level in your community, like Anchorage and Fairbanks and I think it's Bethel's region have, then you really do have to wear your mask around everybody and keep your social distance from everybody because you don't really know who has it. You don't know whether you have it. And so to keep that down and not have that just become a fiery red where they're trying to run four respirators off the same machine and the people in Anchorage can't give that wonderful kind of care that they can at the moment. We've just got to not be, you know, we have to keep our social distance and not go to gatherings and think about things that are like, oh, come on now, I've got to have Thanksgiving dinner with my whole family gathered from all over the... No, this year... You probably don't. There's too much risk of gatherings like that.
All right. And I do think that there was a really interesting document on super spreader events. And a lot of them, I mean, meatpacking plants are not the place you want to be working right now. also, rest homes, jails, high percentage. Of those types of situations. I don't know why I said that. It's just very interesting to see that they're largely those environments, which I would think length of time. Are there any indicators that are changing a little bit?
Well, they're also, you know, it's length of time and breathing the same air. Everybody's really worried about winter coming all over the United States because, and maybe this isn't true in Alabama, but when it finally gets cool enough, you can get outside because without air conditioning. But here, at least, things that we did outside, we're just not going to do as much outside. 4th of July weekend here, we had way a lot of people in town, and people weren't wearing masks. But if you remember, it was very windy, and everybody was having barbecues because it was so warm and wonderful. It was a beautiful weekend. And so outside, there have been very few super spreader events if people are paying any attention to not just hugging and kissing each other. So we get away with murder when our events are outside. But frankly, I'm not going to do that with a 40-knot wind in the winter. And so if you bring that same party, the same number of people into your living room, they can't stand far enough from each other. And even with all the windows open, which you're probably not going to do, the virus kind of accumulates in the room, and that could be enough to add up to people getting sick.
All right. I'm thinking we're at the end of our... I'm out of questions.
For now.
So thanks for the recap of all of that. Apologize for missing some time there, but that's... one thing I'm finding is that you need to find some time for yourself, and sometimes you need to say no. and then get back out there and do what you can. So thanks for being available for us and rolling through some of the new info. And next week, maybe we'll hit... a little more of what are some of the things that they're looking into, you know, if we're all going indoors, how about, You know, I wonder, innovation, we're like the land of innovation. So how about air circulation and those types of things? There are some other things that I'm sure folks are looking into, and maybe we can delve into that a little bit more. What are some other things folks can do, maybe inside or in work environments, to try to make it a healthier spot?
Right. Yes, I don't think that we'll ever run out of questions entirely. And remember, this is still less than a year of this virus, and so we really don't know what happens 10 years after you catch it, or what is the best kind of mask. Why do we think wet masks work now, whereas before we said don't wear a mask? There's all kinds of things that are still changing. So if people have questions that they need answered right now, any of the medical people would be glad to field those or get you to somebody who knows the best answer that we have at the moment. I look forward to next week.
Yeah, all right. And if people do want to shoot me a question, because Kathy, God bless you, I can throw whatever I want. I can throw a challenge at you, and I think you'll take it. So valdesnews@gmail.com. So if folks have a question that you'd like me to ask, I'd be happy to do that as well. valdesnews@gmail.com. And we'll just try to put information out there for folks as best we can.
Okay. Sounds good.